Well, we will start with our chumash now. Good morning, everybody. Yes, all kinds of news. All right. Well, back we are. There's a few people missing that I know, so it's going to be a small group, smaller. Somebody's still coming? It's not even smaller. Okay, it's all good. Now, last week we concluded that pasuk, which told us about Loisav Hashel Gedi B'Chalev Imoy. I mean, you never finish, but we're moving on. And now we are on page 306 in your Chumash pages. And in this page, 306, you'll see we're going to take a little bit of a turn. Because up until now, every pasuk was at least one mitzvah. One mitzvah, another mitzvah, sometimes seemingly unrelated, sometimes two mitzvahs in the same pasuk. Here we're going to start a little bit more of a prophecy and story, and yes. So this will lead us to the last chapter. This is the end of the second to last chapter. Then we come to the next chapter, which is the last chapter of Parshas Mishpatim. Here you will see today a certain promise of Hashem of how we will enter the land of Israel and the way it will happen. And then in the next chapter, something very strange happens, that we go back to Matan Torah. Sounds a bit strange, because the giving of the Torah was already discussed at length in the previous parsha, and yet we're going to go back. So we'll discuss that when we get there. But today, as I say, this seems unrelated. We'll see how it connects to the previous pasuk soon. But let's read a few of the pasukim and see what's the story here, what's happening. So page 306, it's Perek Chaf Gimel, and it's pasuk Chaf. Hine anoichi sheleach malach lefanecha. Behold, I send an angel before you. Lishmorcha baderech, to protect you, to guard you on the way. Vila haviacha el hamokei masher hachinoisi, and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. So when I read the pasuk for a second first, you think, wow, that sounds beautiful. Doesn't it sound so beautiful that Hashem is sending us an angel and we'll be protected and we're not on our own, right? 306, yet you have the place, yeah. Okay, so, but let's see in a minute what this really means, and is this such a positive message? Okay, then he says, so he doesn't tell us exactly where, but he alludes to, he says, to watch, to guard us on the way, and to bring us to the place that I have prepared. So we have to understand, what way, which place are we talking about? I mean, us with our understanding, we already guess we're talking about. Which place would we be talking about? Where are we going? Which way? Okay, so we're on the journey to Eretz Yisrael. Which place is the destination, the ultimate destination? Okay, so yeah, it's good. You know, it's so good that you said that, Daisy, because the truth is that's why Rashi has to tell us. But it says already, baderech, the way. So the way is the way to Canaan. Which place are we specifically talking about, though? Har Sinai, I know, because here we're talking about what will happen in the future, Leah. Oh, so that's exactly right. The Beis HaMikdash, that's the goal, right? The goal is to get to Yerushalayim, to get to where we will build the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not so clear. You're all right. We'll see. That's what Rashi has to clarify for us. But let's see the next pasuk. We'll see in a minute. We'll come back. I just want to read one more pasuk. And then Hashem tells us, He shomer mipanav. Now He tells us how we have to, so to speak, deal or act towards this malach, this angel. So we have to beware of him, okay? We have to be careful. Ushma bekoilai, and listen to his voice. Al tamer bay, do not rebel against him, do not disobey him. Ki lo yisa lefishachem, because he will not forgive you for your sins. Ki shmi bikir bay, for my name is within him. It's a very strange pasuk, very strange. Yes, Stacey.
Angel visible?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Let's find out a little bit more, hopefully. Not easy psukim these. I would like to read, I think I want to read one more pasuk before we go into understanding it. Let's do the next pasuk. The next pasuk, because it's all connected, on page 307, just to want to read another two or three psukim to see a bit more about this malach. Ki im shamay. So now we just said we better listen to him, right? And if you don't listen to him, he's not able to forgive you. So just be careful. So here he says, ki im, in pasuk chav beis, ki im shamaya tishma b'koilai, if you will listen to his voice, v'asisa kol asher adaber, and you will do everything. Good morning, good morning. Everything that I speak. No, no, perfect. Page 307, we're on. So everything that I speak, then what will happen? V'ayofti esoivecha, and I will be the enemy of your enemies, Vitzarti es tzairerecha, and I shall oppress your oppressors. Okay, this is quite a beautiful promise, as you can see. So now, with our understanding, we just said it's obviously they're going into the land of Israel, and we know what that entails whenever it is, so we can understand that we need this promise. But there's a few, any questions? Just before, any on the way the pasuk is written, you see it says, you listen to whose voice? Bekailai to his voice. His voice meaning, obviously, the malach, right? Because we mentioned that malach, that angel. But then it says, v'asisa kol asher adaber, which means all that I speak. It's a bit strange. So who are we listening to? The malach, to Hashem. It's a bit strange, right? You can see. Okay. And then Hashem promises us, I'll be the enemy of your enemies and I'll oppress your oppressors. Let's see the next. We're going to go to say another three psukim. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Ki yeleich malachi lefanecha, for my angel shall go before you. V'havi'acha, now it's a bit more clear where we're going, and where will he bring you? El ha'emayri, v'hachivi, v'haprizi, v'haknani, v'hachivi, v'hayevusi, v'hich chaditiv. So what, where are we going to go? So he says, I said chivi before and it's chiti, the second one. Okay, so he's, the angel will go before you and he's going to bring you to all these different nations. And what will I do to them? I will annihilate them, right? I will destroy them. Okay, sounds quite protective. And then Hashem has to warn us about one more thing. Because now, when we arrive in that place and all those enemies have been annihilated, hopefully, there's still a problem. What could be the problem? And let's see in the next pasuk. Loi sishtacha velelekehem. Don't bow down to their gods. Veloi sa'avdeim. And don't worship them. Veloi sa'ase kima'aseihem. And don't act according to their practices. And this doesn't necessarily mean an idol worship. This means even in their customs, in their ways, because that will bring you to their idol worship. So don't emulate, don't copy, don't learn anything from them. And then he says, ki hareis taharseim, rather what should you do? Demolish them, v'shaber tishaber matzei v'seihem. You have to smash all of their standing stones, in other words, totally eradicate all of the idol worship. Very interesting. Even if the people are gone, if the idols are still there, that's still a danger. Very interesting. So you can see, immediately we have to get rid of them. And then the last pasuk of this section, v'avadetem es Hashem aleikeichem, and so you shall worship Hashem, your God. And what will happen? A beautiful brach Hashem gives us. Uveirach es lachmecha, I will bless your bread, v'es meimecha, and your water, v'hasiroisi machala mikirbecha, and I will remove illness from your midst. A very beautiful bracha to end this little part of the thing. There's really more that it does go on because it tells us more brachas, but we're not going to read that today. Next week in Mirtz Hashem. Okay, I want to just go back now to the beginning to understand what's going on here. Who is this angel? What's Hashem talking about? Is this a positive thing? Well, sounds quite beautiful. I wouldn't mind an angel walking always in front of me. It would be beautiful. So let's see. And we know even from the stories in Bereishis, do you remember how Yaakov seemed to have an angel always, and even Yosef? And so it sounds like a wonderful thing. So let's see Rashi first, and then we're going to explore more in Mefarshim. So if you look on back on page 306, look into Chaf, Pasuk Chaf, the Rashi. Now go back, sorry, to page 306. Let's see what he says. Hine anochi shaleach malach. So Rashi says, this is quite confronting. He says, kan nisbasru shasidin lachtai. Here they're informed that they were destined to sin, and we're talking about the story of the golden calf. And what's going to happen when they sin at the golden calf? Ushchina aymeres lahem. And the Shechina will then say to them, ki loy ele bikirbecha, I will not ascend in your midst. Sounds pretty scary. So Rashi's saying it seemingly in response to the angel. So it sounds almost like this angel, we can't figure out what he is. It sounds almost like he's less than Hashem, for sure. That initially there was Hashem himself, and then he's going to send an angel. That's what seems that Rashi's implying. Where will the angel be? If you look at the pasuk, Hine anochi shaleach malach, where? Lifanecha. Okay, so that's a little bit of a problem. It doesn't say bikir, like the malach will be with you, near you, next, right, in front of you, which is very nice, but nothing in comparison to when you had Hashem amongst you. Why does Hashem, so to speak, leave you? Because you sinned by the golden calf. That's what it seems. Okay, so it's not such a positive thing, this malach. This is like, never mind, second best, 100th best, right? It's like when, if a child is expecting to go out with their favorite grandparent, and along comes some strange babysitter. It's not a comparison at all. The child can be very distraught, right? So we're not happy. Would we be happy with such a, this is quite a slap, in a sense, almost, and it's quite a shock. But we don't see, one thing to keep in mind is this is, it's funny, because it doesn't introduce like Hashem speaking to Moshe here. But somehow Hashem is saying this to Moshe. We don't see a reaction here from Moshe at all. Okay, we'll discuss soon. We'll see a little bit more. It's not so clear what this means. We're going to have to a little bit analyze in the Mefarshim. I just want to show you one other thing now, to go to the word Asher Hachinaisi. Because we mentioned that we said, where are we going? So we're going to the place that I have prepared. So Rashi says, what does this mean, Asher Hachinaisi? So he says, Asher Zimanti Loseis Lachem. Hachinaisi, and here they translate prepared, but really prepared is not the right word. More, I've designated. I've set it aside for you. Because really this place has been set aside already from the beginning. What is this place? This is the holiest place in the world. The place where the Beis HaMikdash stands. Why can't we just say that I have prepared it? Because, and I'll tell you something interesting, because it's talking about the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael that we are about, good morning, to enter, but we are not about to enter yet, okay? There's a long way until we're going to get there. And we know, and I know we didn't read the rest of the Pesukim, but what Hashem tells us is that in order for us to enter the land, and we all know this, what happens is there's a massive amount of wars, a massive amount of things that they have to go through before they're going to be able to enter the land. And at the moment, who lives in the land? We just even mentioned them. All those seven nations, and they're not easy. So is this prepared for us? What kind of preparation is that? It's like inviting somebody for Shabbos, and they come in, and it looks like it's Wednesday morning, you know, and nothing's done. House is a wreck. That's prepared. That's not prepared. So what is Hashem saying it's prepared? So that's why we have a second answer here, something actually quite beautiful. It is already designated, but it also refers to something even deeper. And what does it refer to? So look in the next part of Rashi. Rashi brings a medrash, and Rashi says, "Umedrashai," and the medrash interpretation, "El hamakim asher hachinoisi kvar," the place that I have already prepared, "kinegdai," opposite it, which actually means corresponding to it. And which place is that? This is one of the places, one of the psukim that actually tell us, that the heavenly temple is directly aligned with the earthly temple. What does that mean? That means that whether we have a Beis HaMikdash physically or not, because it wasn't built yet, or unfortunately, because it was already destroyed, whichever way you want to go, there is still a heavenly Beis HaMikdash. And it is actually in the same place. Spiritual doesn't have physical space, but corresponding to it spiritually, there is this Beis HaMikdash that's there from the beginning of creation till now, always designated, always prepared, and always ready, and always there. And that's what he means. So when Hashem is telling us that I'm taking you, where am I leading you to, and that it's already prepared, it is already prepared. Because spiritually, the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash is already there. Now, obviously, you're going to have to go through some things to get to be able to reveal that, but you will. You know why I know you will? Because it's there. It's not something that you have to create from anew. And that's a very important thing. That's why also for us, it's a very big comfort to know. And that's why I think people do find comfort, especially when they go to the Kaisel and they go to Yerushalayim and they feel that it's still there. The holiness is still felt because spiritually it's still there. And it only needs the unveiling, if you want to say, the revealing, if you, you know. So it's only one small step that Hashem can do at any moment. We're ready. So as you can see here, that's one thing. But we still want to understand this malach. We're going to come back to him. Let's just see a little more technical in the psukim. And then, and another thing that the Mefarshim also asked, what's the connection to the previous psukim? What are we talking about going into Eretz Yisrael here? And Hashem is sending you an angel. What does it have to do with all the previous psukim, with all the mitzvahs? So some of the Mefarshim say on a very simple level, they say that a lot of the mitzvahs that we just mentioned in the past few psukim were mitzvahs that we can keep in Eretz Yisrael. So the Jewish people want a reassurance that we're actually going into Eretz Yisrael. And here, that's what Hashem is telling them now. I am giving you a reassurance. I'm going to provide a means and a way for you to enter and conquer and divide and live in the land and be able to keep the mitzvahs. So this gives them that, first of all, reassurance, but also that sense that those mitzvahs, we better hold on to them. Because very soon, we're going to actually have to implement them. So that's the continuation of the psukim in that sense. Okay, let's go a little bit more into Rashi, and we are going to come back to the Malach. And then we talk about don't rebel against him. Al Tamer Bay. So he says, Loshin Tamer is rebelliousness. Okay, so just Rashi just translating that don't disobey him. And let's see the next one. Ki lo yisa lefish achem. Very interesting. So he's not going to forgive your rebellious sin. Why won't he forgive? Maybe he should learn from Hashem. He's Hashem's messenger. So it says, Einai milumat bekach. He is not accustomed to such forgiving. Shehu min hakat she'einan chaitin. Because he's from the group that doesn't sin. What does that have to do with anything? We all know. Something that we don't find a challenge, we don't understand when somebody else does. It's just the way it is. If something's easy for us and somebody does something that for us is easy and they somehow find difficult, we just find it hard to relate to them and to forgive them. What was so difficult? You know, like whatever it is. And any example, we know if we're very organized and very responsible and we ask somebody to pick something up for us from the store and they forget, we think, what's wrong with them? I would never do that. We don't forgive. A malach can't relate to us. They don't have the Yetzirah. They don't understand our challenges. He's not going to be able to forgive you. He doesn't get you at all. Be very, very careful with how you act when the malach is there. And then he says something interesting. There's also more than that. Not only doesn't he understand you, but he can't forgive you. Why? Because what is he? V'ayt shehu shaliach, because he's only an emissary. V'eina oise ela shlichusai. He only fulfills his mission. So he's like a puppet. A puppet has no mind of his own, and he has no right to forgive, unless Hashem decides to forgive, but that's a separate story. But he's just going to continue to fulfill what he was sent to do. So that's on a small level. A little bit we're getting an understanding of what this malach is. Not much, but let's see a little bit more. And then, interesting thing, because the pasuk was funny if you read it. It says, I'm going to send a malach, and he's going to guard you. Be careful, listen to his voice, don't rebel against him, because he can't forgive you. And then we end off and we say, for my name is within him. But if you look at the pasuk, it's almost like he can't forgive you because my name is in him. If anything, if Hashem's name is in him, that would more chance of him forgiving. Where does that come in? So Rashi says right away, the pasuk is, you have to read the pasuk a little bit differently. You have to put a little bit of a comma after Lefish Achem, right? And you have to say, Ki Shmi Bikirbai, my name is in him, really goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. And let's see what Rashi says, for my name is within him, Mechubar L'Rosh HaMikra. This is connected to the beginning. Let's see, what's the beginning? So the beginning is, He shomer mipanav, that you have to beware of him. Why? Ki shmi mishutaf bai, because my name is associated with him. Now Rashi is going to tell us a drop more about this malach. Who is this malach? And Rashi even gives us a name. Well, that's really going to help us, but let's see what the name of the malach is. So he says, Rabbi Seinu Amru, Ze Mitatrain. I don't know if you ever heard of the malach Mitatrain. It's not as famous as Malach Michal and Malach Gavriel, but he is a famous malach, and we'll see in a minute. He actually, according to many opinions, is one of the, I don't know if the word is head malachim, but he's a malach who can take on different forms. He's like almost, I don't know, a generic malach, which sometimes comes down as Michal, and sometimes can come down as Gavriel. In other words, can sometimes come down as Chesed, sometimes he comes down as Gvura, whatever Hashem sends him to do. He's like a more generic kind of a agent of Hashem. Who is and how special is he? So let's see, he says an interesting thing. Sheshmai Kishem Rabbi. His name is like the name of his master, means he has the same name as the name of Hashem. What does that mean? Because the word Metatrain is the same gematria as the name of Hashem, Shin Dalet Yud. So he is really an agent of Hashem, a direct agent of Hashem, according to Rashi. Okay. and he represents Hashem. Okay, we'll see soon what that means, because that doesn't sound so bad. Now, I mean, if it's an agent and if it's like, you know, that's wonderful. We have Hashem here that we can maybe even on some level get a little bit more of access to than Hashem himself, because this is already taking on some type of a form, right? An angel is definitely lower than the essence of Hashem. So perhaps we can relate to him more, and maybe he can relate to us more. Maybe, I don't know, but let's see. We'll see in a minute a little bit more about it. I want to just see what Rashi says in just the next three, two Rashis. Just want to see. I think that's all. That's all for the Rashi. Okay, now I'm going to go into the Mefarshim 1 second. I just want to see one more thing before we go into the Mefarshim. I just wanted to share one beautiful thing. So in Rabbi Monk's book, so he just brings a very interesting sort of theme, if you want to say, about this whole idea that when the Jews were traveling, and we'll see it'll lead on to the commentaries that we'll see now, when the Jewish people were traveling through the desert, and even before that, obviously, before they started traveling, when they left Egypt, we know that when Hashem did, for example, when he did the plague of the firstborn, and what does it say there? Remember we say it by the Seder? Who came? On me and not... That's right, and not an angel. That's right, myself, right? Hashem himself, in his own glory. For a Jew, the greatest feeling is Hashem himself. And the biggest insult is when Hashem says, I am not going to come myself, but I'm going to send an intermediary. Because the truth is the whole world runs by an intermediary. That's the truth. But we always consider ourselves different, right? That's what Hashem actually told us, that you are chosen and I will elevate you and you will be like, you know, the so to speak, the favorite, if you want to say, and have a much more direct connection. So this, in a sense, is quite an insult and quite hurtful. The most hurtful thing that could be is when Hashem withdraws a little bit, hides himself a little bit, and we feel a little bit distant then because of that, even though we know we still have his protection. So this is why it's interesting. This is what's sort of leading on over here. Why does that happen? That happens as a direct result when we introduce a different God, so to speak. So as soon as we remove our complete trust from Hashem, immediately it's like almost an automatic reaction. Hashem himself withdraws a little bit as well, because we have removed our attention from him. So he is not there as strongly. And it's almost directly a consequence. It's not even a punishment. It's just direct what we do, and that causes that to happen. Okay, but and we say that like the deepest humiliation that could possibly happen for the Jewish people. Okay, I just want to see something. If there was anything else. The gematria was, I just found 314, which is this Mitatran and the same gematria as Shakai. I just want to go now into the Mefarshim. Let's read them in. I'm sorry, it's a lot of Hebrew, and I will translate, and please ask if it's not clear, but I'd like to see it in the depth, because it's quite an interesting concept. So I have three different ones over here. One is the Ibn Ezra, who's always quite officially straightforward, and then we have a Ramban, which is very beautiful, and then we have a Malbim, also in his way of analyzing this concept. So let's see, start with number one. Ibn Ezra tells us, first of all, Hine anoichi, behold, I am going to. Yes, as he says. So he says like this. Amar Hashem l'Moshe. Hashem actually said to Moshe, Sheyomer gamzei l'Yisrael, that he should also tell this to the Jewish people. What does he tell him to tell them? Ki im yikablu kol hadvarim v'hamishpatim, if you will accept upon yourself all of the things and all of the laws, mitchilas atem reisem, right from the beginning, you know, all the laws we mentioned of all the things that we're going to have to keep, the Shemitah and the justice and all the different things we learned about, judging righteously and favorably and not taking interest and all the different things, then what will happen? Baz yeviem el haaretz, I will bring them into the land. Virabim hishtapshu baze, and many people like discuss this and argue about this and play around the Ibn Ezra about this concept of the Malach. He says, Yesh oimrim ki ha-malach hu sefer Torah. Here the Malach doesn't mean a Malach, it means the Sefer Torah. You know that when the Jewish people traveled, already from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu at the end, they wrote a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah went, so to speak, led them, if you want to say, traveled in the front of the Jewish people. Even when they went to war, we know the king would always had a special secretary written for him. It always went out with them, came back with them. So maybe this malach is just an allusion to the Sefer Torah that always travels with him. One opinion. That's what he brings. It's not his opinion. He brings that other people say. Other people say, as he says, why do they say Sefer Torah? Because Bavor Kishmi Bikirbay, because it says my name is in him. So it means a Sefer Torah which has Hashem's name in it. And then he says, Va'acheir Mamru, and other people say, Hu Arein Habris, it's referring to the actual ark, which also we know traveled with them, traveled in front of them, also contains the Luchais, which would be representing Hashem. And that's why he says, Upershu Shma Bikoilet, as we said, listen to his voice, Hakosov Boy, which is written in it. And then he says, V'chol Eile Divrei Ruach, no, empty words. I don't like any of this. When it says malach, the Evan Ezra says, malach means a malach. Now, we don't know what a malach means, but we know that there's such a concept as an angel. And if the Pasuk says angel, it doesn't mean a Sefer Torah, it doesn't mean an Arayin, it means a malach. And as he says, ki kol ha-Torah v'ha-mikra meleim mizeh ha-tam. The whole Torah is full of this. We find, he brings other psukim. Hu yishlach malach elefanecha, right? We said, by Yaakov, and he's going to send an angel in front of you. Ha-malach ha-goyel ha-yisimi kol ra, right? The malach who redeems me, right? We know, that's what we said, Yosef. Said, "Umayisha Amra v'yishlach malach v'yetzienim mitzrayim, send an angel, take us out of Egypt." Ubesefer Daniel, Sar Yavon v'Sar Poras, so they call him like the Sar, so to speak, the official of Yavon, the official of Poras, right, of Greece and of Persia. Ki im michol sarchem, but who is your official? Michol, right? In other words, the Jewish people, you have the angel Michol. So, in other words, all different places that we know that there really is a malach that really comes and accompanies us, leads us, guides us, protects us. Brings all different psukim. V'hu ha-nikra ha-gadol, he's called the great malach, ki hu nichbad me'acheirim rabim, he's greater than many of the others. Gam kosov olav echad ha-sarim harishoinim bola azreini, one of the first officers came to help me, and we say, what does it mean first? Sheperusha b'mayla. Doesn't mean first, it means the greatest one. K'may ha-yayshvim rishayna b'malchus, the one who sits at the head, at, you know, so to speak, the first one by the king. V'zeh ha-malach hu-mechol. Okay, so he's just saying that there are different angels that literally, when it talks about angels, it means an angel. And then he says, what will happen? Kol malach, number two, kol malach oyseh, still the Evan Ezra, dover Hashem v'la yoseh v'la yigra. We know what a malach does. So a malach is an interesting creature, so to speak. Yeah, it is. It is very spiritual, very godly, but literally no will of its own, none whatsoever. Does exactly what Hashem says, doesn't, not less and not more, can't. Has no opinion, nothing, right, as we know. The kacha, satan iyav malachai, even the satan of iyav was a malach, so there's negative, and there's part, they come in different forms, depending on what role they have to play. The kacha hayetzi likras bilam the satan, right, even says the one that went out to greet Bilam, to satan him, which actually meant over there to steer him, veer him the wrong way, but it's also a malach. So if you listen to the malach, you're listening to Hashem. And then he says something very interesting. We said that the malach, where is he? Bikirbay, in you, right? He's amongst you. This doesn't sound so bad, right? This is not going in front of you. We'll see soon. It's very strange because first he says in front of you, then he says amongst you. Which one is it? And which one is good? Which one is bad? Or are they, but whatever. We'll see in a minute. But there is a difference. But he says something quite interesting here. It's just a cute little way of looking at it. He says, Moshal Eagle Shahanakuda Hikroiva El Kol Merchak. If you have a circle and you know you have a point in the middle of the circle, so anybody who knows mathematics knows that the point in the middle of the circle, it's equal distance to any part outside part of the circle. That's right, the laws of nature, as we say. Okay, he says, Al Kain, Haya Kvayd Hashem, Bekerev Hamachane. So the honor, the glory of Hashem was in the midst of the camp, Vinoiseya Besoich Hamachane, and traveled in the midst of the camps, Vechein Kosov Kiata Hashem, Bekerev Ha'amazeh. You, Hashem, live amongst the people. What does that mean? Very beautiful. It's like what the picture that we that Evan is showing us is, we have to think of it like the middle of the circle, which means that he is equally close to everybody. That's a very beautiful thing to think, and that's what we believe, and that's what we feel, so to speak, hopefully, with Hashem, even now, with our lives. So he's equally close, he's amongst us, like the middle of that circle. But then he says something very interesting else. He says like this. Then he goes on and he says, V'chein kasuv ki'at Hashem bekerev amazek. V'al tishtoimim be'avur shu kasuv ki'im shamaya tishma b'koyloi. Right? So don't wonder, don't get upset. He says, look, it says like this. Listen to his voice, right? And then it says, V'achar kach v'asisa kol asher adaber. Remember we said, and afterwards it says, and do everything that I say. So whose voice? Is it the Malach's voice? Is it Hashem? So he says, I'll give you a simple analogy. V'hine eten lecha mashal, kol chach me hamidais heviu rayis gemurais, ki etzem halavana guf mekabel or Hashemesh. Interesting, he calls them chach me hamidais. So I guess any scientists will tell you, and they bring you proof, and this is a long time ago, 800 years ago, more, that they bring absolute proof that this moon receives all of its light from the sun, right? We, as Jews, we knew a lot more about astronomy because of our calendar than even the wide population would have known in the time. But in that time, during the time of the Ibn Ezra already, there were, you know, in Spain, there were certain scientists, and they were starting to figure things out. Everybody knows that the moon only receives its light from the sun, he says. So this is an example he's giving us. And he says, ki hu ba'atzmai einoi galoi, right? He has none of his own light. V'hine yadanu ki ar halavana b'layla ta'ir ha'avir. And we know that at night, it's the light of the moon that's bringing the light into the world, right? That's what makes a bit bright. V'hine im amar Ruvain ze'ar halavana. If Ruvain says, oh look, there's the light of the moon, we'll say to him, yeah, there's the light of the moon. And if Shimon says, there's the light of the sun, even if he said at night, he says, right, this is the light of the sun. So what will you say to him? Emes, you're right. Because the moon's light is the sun's light. So they're both right, as we say, right? That's a famous story. Both right. So what are we saying over here? The Malach, Hashem, it's all the same thing. The Malach is just the representative. He has nothing of his own. He's like the moon to the sun. So in the Ibn Ezra, what seems to be that it's not such a terrible thing, it sounds not bad at all. The Malach is a representative of Hashem. He's traveling with us. He'll protect us. He'll give us access, so to speak, to the godliness and to the protection and to the greatness of Hashem. Sounds amazing. But let's go on now. Let's see what the Ramban says. Sure, sure.
If the Malach no needs, no anything.
You gave us the story
that they begged Hashem not to bring the
series
that he brought down to Earth.
Yeah, there's lots of stories. I know. How does that work, eh? Do they have a say?
I mean, if Hashem says
yeah, that's a good question. It's a very good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Sylvia. It's a good question. Yeah. So, what? That's right. That's right. I guess no matter what, at the end of the day, what? To their own nature. The truth is, because to them, the Torah is them. It's that godliness. Yeah, it's their whole essence. It's like, it's almost like. I know, Hashem says, but it's because Hashem at that point gave them that option. That was what he wanted. He wanted that conversation to happen. So, yeah, but you're right, Sylvia. It's interesting. It is. Let's see the Ramban. So, a little bit of patience. This is very, very interesting. The Ramban will give us, I think, a very nice understanding of something quite incredible. What really happens here? So he says, first of all, okay, so I want to read from where I bracketed, because the first part, he's just quoting Rashi. So it's like four lines into the Ramban. Uva Eila, in the middle of the sentence, on four, it's number four. Uva Eila Shmais Rabba, so in the Medrash, Ra'isi, I saw, Gam, Kain, Yesh Mishta Deirish Kach, Sheze Al Davar Ha'igal. Right, so he says, it's just like Rashi says, that, yeah, this is referring to what happens when the Jews sin at the eagle. V'yesh lishol shehari ha'gzeira ha'hi lo niskaima. But, he says, we have a very interesting question because we didn't learn it yet, so we might not be aware. What happened by the eagle? Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, the people sinned, that's it. I'm removing my presence from them. Finished, it's over. And what does Moshe say? Okay, so that's one thing he says. What else does he say? Very interesting thing. Does he allow Hashem to remove his presence from traveling with the Jewish people? Absolutely no. He says, and we'll see, he says, don't you even dream of it. It's not happening. And we're not moving until you promise me that you yourself are staying with us. That's what Moshe says to Hashem. Let's see. Let's see how he says. So he says, Right, the gzeira loy niskaima, the gzeira didn't come true. Shakadish baruch hu amar loy, because the conversation was that Hashem said to Moshe, v'shalachti lefanecha malach, I will send an angel before you, ki loy ele bekirbach, I will not go up in your midst. Moshe bikeshal leharachamim, but Moshe, he was begging, he was asking, pleading for compassion. V'amar, im ein panecha holchim al ta'aleinu mizeh. If your face, in other words, if it's not going to be you, we're not. Don't take us up from here. It's not worth it. Ubame yivada efei ki matzasi chein beinecha ani v'amcha. How will anybody know, and how will we know that we find favor in your eyes, me and your nation? Halay belechtecha imanu. The only way is when you are with us. So you have to be with us. That's what Amisha says to Hashem. There's no two ways about it. It's the only way we know that you love us and that you're, you know, that we're your special nation. So he says, v'nisratzel lo yakadosh baruch hu. And Hashem actually agreed with Moshe. V'amar loy, gamez hadavar hazeh asher dibarti eseh. Even this thing that you spoke about. So you're right, mecheinina. So he forgave the Jewish people, but he did even more. He agreed with Moshe, and he says, I will continue to accompany you and the Jewish people through the desert. V'kach amru, afilu b'purkanei loy kibluna, which means he didn't accept the messenger. Let's see what that means. Im ein panecha holchin, al ta'aleinu mizeh, right? If you're not coming, we're not moving. V'hatshuva lefi hadas hazeh. So what's happening over here? What's going on here? Ki ha'gzeira ha'hi lo'y niskaima im Moshe b'yamav. So that decree that Hashem said, I'm going and I'm only going to send an angel and it won't be me, it's just going to be some kind of a intermediary, didn't happen in the times of Moshe. But, so Moshe managed to postpone it. That's what he managed to do. Let's see what it says. It didn't happen to Moshe in his time. And that's why it says, "V'hu masha amar v'niflinu ani v'amcha," right? We are different. We are distinguished. We are separate. We are unique, right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. V'amar ki matzasachein beinecha v'edacha b'shem, right? I find favor in your eyes and I know you by name. And he gives all these different psukim v'oid. Amar v'rei kol ha'am asher ata b'kirba, right? The whole nation was, you are in their midst. But what happened? Avalacher misasay shel Moshe, after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, shalach lahem malach. Then Hashem does send an angel, and we know that from the stories that come afterwards. V'zesha amar akosuv, v'yehi b'yayis Yehoshua b'yerichai. When Yehoshua, we know what the first place that they conquer is the city of Yerichai. And what happens before they conquer Yerichai? Something quite incredible. The pasuk tells us, v'yisa einav, that Yehoshua lifted his eyes, and what happened? V'yaren yisov, v'hine ish oimed l'negda. It looked like a man was standing opposite him, v'charbay shlufa b'yaday, and his sword was drawn in his hand. Who was this man that was standing there in front of Yehoshua? This was the Malach. Okay, very interesting. And Yeshua doesn't recognize him first. It's an interesting conversation. V'yomer lo, and Yeshua says to him, halanu ata im litzareinu. Are you ours, or do you belong to the enemy? He doesn't even know. He could have been a Malach for the enemy. He could have been anything. He has the hand, the sword drawn. So Yeshua is asking him, who are you? Whose are you, if you want to say? And he says, v'yomer lo, ki ani sar tzva Hashem. Ata Bossi. No, I am the Sar Tzva Hashem, the officer of the hosts of Hashem. Now I have come. And what does that mean, now I have come? So he says, V'sham tira sheshalu Yeshua. We see over there that Yeshua asks him, Ma adayni medaber alavdei? Like, do you have something to tell me? What do you have to tell your servant? Like, have you come as a messenger with a certain specific message to tell me? V'leitziva davar shenigla elav ba'avura. He doesn't command him anything to say, like, this is why I've come, this is why I've revealed myself. He doesn't have any specific command, any specific instruction to Yeshua. What does he say? Ela sh'amar lo, sal na'alecha me'al raglecha, just remove your shoes from your feet. V'leibirer lamaba, he doesn't explain why he came. But why did he come? Aval ha'isa hamare, but what was the vision? La'idia ha'isa, just to let him know, ki me'ata yiyem malach shaluach lefneihem, latseis bitzava ba'milchamba. From now on, there's going to be an angel that's going to be sent to go out in front of the army every single time they go to war. V'zehu sha'amar, atabasi, now I have come. So what does the Medrash mean? V'chein amru b'tanchuma, anihu shabasi b'mei Moshe. I'm the same one that came in the time of Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeich, Moshe your teacher. But what did Moshe do? V'dacha isi, he sent me away, he didn't want me. V'lai ratza. He didn't want me to go with him. And clearly it says, and Hashem agreed and said, no, there's not going to be any malach the whole time that Moshe is alive. This is quite a powerful thing and hard for us to understand. But one thing we do see very clearly, this malach is not a bad thing. Okay, it's not bad, even though it says it's a punishment almost. The malach that we're talking about for Yehoshua, it's not a negative thing because it's there to protect the Jewish people. It's going to go out every time they fight, hopefully help them succeed in their wars as long as they're following in what Hashem says. Moshe doesn't want to have a bar of the malach. Moshe wants Hashem himself. Moshe saw Hashem. Moshe encountered the real thing. It's like we say, when you have the real thing, you can't have the imitation. It doesn't work. It's impossible. And Hashem agreed with Moshe. According to some opinions, Hashem made Moshe the Malach. It was almost like Moshe played the role of the Malach and Hashem was right near Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the level that Moshe reached. So the Jewish people in the time of Moshe were so privileged that they had a much more direct, undiluted, if you want to say, form of godliness. But in the time of Yehoshua, it's already a step down. But not a bad thing. It helped them conquer the land. It helped them get into Eretz Yisrael. And we believe even nowadays, otherwise it wouldn't be successful. I mean, the Malach is there. It's definitely there. And it's always there and with the army and with all the people who are brave enough to live in Eretz Yisrael in all different parts. And that's the only way we have it. It doesn't, wouldn't work. Impossible. It's miraculous, as we know. It's mamish a miracle. So let's see what he says. So he says something interesting. He says, so the Malach sent, Moshe Rabbeinu sends the Malach, as we say, v'keivan shemeis Moshe, but what happened after Moshe passes away? Chazar Isai Hasar Lim Kaimai, then the Malach comes back, right? Shekein Yeshua Raya Isai, and that's where Yeshua sees him, Shenemar, Vihibi, Biyos Yeshua Birichai, Vihemer Loiki, and Nisar Tzva Hashem, Atabasi, but Yeshua sees him and he says, yes, I am the, you know, the angel, the host, and now I have come. Lekach Nemar, Hine Anaychi Sheleach Malach. And I wanted to show you something though. He says something interesting. Vihine Kasher HaMalach has a Sheikhin Beker of Yisrael, Loi Yaymar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loi. So as long as this Malach is dwelling amongst the Jewish people, we can't say that Hashem says, I will not go up amongst you. Kishmi Bikirba, right? My name is in him. V'hu Biker of Yisrael, and he's amongst the Jewish people. Aval Kishachatu Be'egel. So what happened with the Egel? Why did Rashi bring that? What happened when they sinned? Rotza L'salek Shechinosai Misaicham. He actually wanted to remove his Shechina. V'sheyiyeh Malach Mishluchav. What Hashem wanted to do then was to send an angel in front of them, quite a distance, not amongst them, not with them. They wouldn't have had that same sense of security, that same feeling of closeness to Hashem, whether it be a Malach or Moshe or whatever. But as long as the Malach is within you, close to you, but if the Malach only goes like quite a distance in front of you, so to speak, that's already a whole different story, and that's a punishment. That's not Hashem amongst you. And that could have been a punishment for the sin of the eagle, but Moshe pleaded and Hashem forgave them, and Hashem didn't actually leave them. But what we see from here, just want to say something interesting, is that there is a concept that should we, God forbid, ever remove our focus from Hashem, and as we say, this is a whole concept of bitachon, and it actually says it in the Shaar Bitachon, talks about if a person puts their trust in Hashem, right, then Hashem, it's almost like we say, it's like a shadow, automatically, he puts his, the word is, he puts his protection on you, if you want to say, because that's what we're focused on. When we remove our focus from Hashem, well then, why should Hashem be focusing on us, right? We've veered from that. We've steered away. And then what happens is we have to rely on all those other things that we are putting our trust in. And they're not very reliable. So it's up to us. It's our choice. If we want to trust in Hashem, we trust in Hashem. We want to trust in other things, we'll trust in other things. And then Hashem will not be as directly focused on us. Hashem never completely leaves us. That we know. There's no question about it. But the can be a bit of a distance, and that's a problem, as we say, a problem for the benefit that we will gain, and also for how we feel. Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. As Jews, our natural default position is that we need to be close to Hashem. It's like the air we breathe. And when we don't have it, we feel like we're choking almost, right? We can't. So sometimes we don't know what's causing us that, if you want to say, that terrible feeling inside. But it's only because Hashem is not there because we're not letting him in, so to speak. So that's, as you can see over here, that's what he's implying. A very interesting thing, though, because the Malbim has an interesting discussion. And he says, if you analyze the whole story, I'll just tell you orally because it's not going to be enough time. You see that over here when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu about this Malach, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't protest, right? There's no protesting. Nothing. Just listens fine. When does he protest? By the ego, right? When the Jews do the sin and Hashem says, I'm going to send an angel. All of a sudden, Moshe says, no, we're not moving from here if you send an angel. And Hashem says, okay, I won't send an angel. I'll go with you. Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu protest over here? So the Malbim says, because really there's two kinds of angels and two different ways. I don't know if the word is angel, even two kinds of revelations of angels, if you want to say. Sometimes we can have a Malach that Hashem is literally within him. And that's the Malach we're talking about here. And there, it's just like a representative of Hashem. It might be a little bit more contracted, if you want to say, a drop less revealed. It's not the essence of Hashem himself, but it's still Hashem going. And that's the Malach that you have to listen to, and he can give you instructions, and he's amazing, and you feel secure, and everything is wonderful. But sometimes Hashem can send a Malach which doesn't have Hashem with him. Now, everything has Hashem with him, but what it means is that this Malach is literally almost like nature, if you want to say. It's just literally a messenger without that incredible godliness with him. That Malach won't make you feel so secure. He's just going to do what Hashem wants him to do. So if Hashem said him, it's like a program almost, and Hashem said him that the war is going to be won, well, even if you sin, the war will be won. Or if Hashem says the war will be lost, even if you do good, the war will be lost. In other words, he is not dependent. You're not, he can't change. He doesn't have Hashem. He's like, you know, like you say, Mamish, like some kind of a button, you know, like a robot that's been programmed before, and now is just going to act upon his pre-programming, if you want to say. So when the Jewish people sinned by the Egel, what Hashem wanted was to send that type of an angel. And that's, Moshe said, no way is that happening. But not only that, Moshe wasn't going to allow for any Malach. He was going to have Hashem himself. And he did get that. But when the Malach came to Yeshua afterwards, this was still quite a high level of Malach. This was a Malach that Hashem was with him, as he says, Hashem Bekirba, Hashem is with him. And that's why it did provide the Jewish people with tremendous support, tremendous protection, and tremendous success way beyond the natural. And that's what happens for Yeshua. And it's a quite a beautiful thing if you think about it, because it's just before, if you think Yerichai, and there they are about to enter the land, and we all know now even, I mean, it's not simple. This is not simple. These are people, the seven nations, they were not a very, whatever, they didn't want us, they didn't like us very much. They knew that we were coming to take their land that they thought was theirs. And this was a formidable enemy. This was very, very scary. Now, the specifically the story with Yerichai was so miraculous, right? They surround the walls, they blow the trumpets, the walls fall down, everything's beautiful and amazing. How did that happen? The Jewish people didn't know that that's exactly what's going to happen. They were prepared for war, right? That's what they were prepared. And when you prepare for war, as we know, you don't know what's going to happen. Anything is possible. So for them, it was quite scary. So you could imagine that when Yeshua saw that vision of the Malach with that sword drawn, that was the most incredible comfort for him. Because now he knows, obviously he knew Hashem was with them, but now he knows that there's literally, Hashem is there physically almost with them. And in the sense that he'll give us that security and that we will be successful in our war. And that's what happened throughout the times of Yeshua, throughout all of the wars. Unfortunately, sometimes they didn't listen to the Malach. And as we said, if you don't listen to the Malach, he doesn't forgive so quickly. And that's why, do you remember even that story with Yerichai afterwards, they took some of the spoils. Remember Achan, he took, and then he had to, and it was a terrible play. It was a terrible, because they weren't supposed to. They were supposed to destroy it all. And that wasn't forgiven very easily at all, because you cannot go against what this malach says. He's not so flexible, this malach. But one thing that we can take from today is a very beautiful thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, this is magnificent to think, Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Jewish people through the desert, and he himself, according to many opinions, becomes the malach, so to speak, in the sense that Hashem reveals himself through Moshe. And that's why when Moshe speaks, we say, it's Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Greina, right? Hashem's, so to speak, voice was speaking through his, Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. You know, it was Hashem, in a sense, not Hashem, Moshe is just a person, but he, in a sense, had such a level of revelation of godliness that he becomes, and we do say Moshe was half man, half malach. That's what we say about Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the only one that reached such a level of all of our prophets, the only one. That's why he's able to go up to Har Sinai and able to spend 40 days and 40 nights with no food, because he's half man and half angel. And that's the beauty of Moshe. And that's the beauty also of having such a shepherd that is there for us, who wants the best for the Jewish people. Because the truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to lose that much. He was still going to be Hashem's favorite, you know. He was going to stay with Hashem. What was he davening? For us. He didn't want an angel for us. He wanted Hashem, so to speak, much more revealed to travel with us in the desert. And that's what he accomplished. So it's a hard few psukim, no question. Next week in Ritz Hashem, we're going to pick up on the beautiful reward about that Hashem blesses the water and he blesses. And it's very beautiful. We'll see a little bit more about that and how we actually enter the land. And the way Hashem prepares us to go into Eretz Yisrael in such a good way that he doesn't destroy all the enemies at once, slowly, we'll see next week why, to help us, to protect us, and to make it a better, successful transition into the land. So, Mirz Hashem, next week we'll see.